In the process of float making, they would need some inspiration. Depending on who's building the float, some would hold contests, some would have large meetings, and some would be the sole decision made by the leader of the organization. These ideas are then approved by the Tournament of Roses Committee. The committee is then to choose a contractor to build the float. The floats that you see in those postcards are the renderings. The floats don't look exactly like those artworks.
Once we come up with the design, then we do a scale drawing so that the design is kind of like your rendering. They work with a professional renderer to come up with the rendering that you saw. And that's what we're going for. That's what we want the float to look like, is what that postcard that you have. However, that's not a scale drawing. That's not a blueprint. We can't build off of that. So we convert that into a blueprint. And the past few years, we've actually used 3D CAD, advanced engineering program, to design the whole float so that we keep the scale right and we can do structural analysis and things like that.
CAD, or CAD, stands for computer-aided design. This is a software that architects use to create a digital replica of anything and then made into a blueprint which construction follows. Under the petals, the bark, and the foliage that covers the entire outside part of the float, there is wireframe that is strong enough to hold the float together. Various metals can be used in the making. Steel and aluminum are two metals that have their own structural advantages when it comes to making floats. Steel is a lot more rigid and affordable than aluminum, while on the other hand, aluminum is more flexible and lightweight than steel.
We use mild steel, and the reason we use mild steel is because of the price difference. Aluminum is very expensive. It does tend to tear instead of bend. So we try and use steel because it has some structural advantages, you know. As you can tell, when you see a building go up, you don't see any aluminum. You see nothing but iron go up. And that's pretty much what we're using as well. It's an easy medium to work with. We use the same machines. We generally use arc welding for about 80% of everything we do here. But we do have wire-fed machines as well. We're using MIG and FlexCore dual process stuff. So we'll, just pick and choose what we need. And, you know, obviously the heavier FlexCore wiring we use for the structure, and on the arc welder we're using for, you know, just basically tack welding stuff together like when we're sculpting, you know, because we take little quarter inch rods and we make a net out of them, and every intersection has to be welded. So that just seemed to be the best way to go.
Both metals are recyclable, and when they are finished, it can be taken back to the steel or aluminum factory to be melted and reshaped again for future purposes. When the pieces are done being assembled, they are lifted with forklifts or with A-frames. An A-frame is a small crane commonly used to carry car engines. If the float structure is light enough, it can be lifted by several people onto the float.
Certainly some things are a little bit bigger than others. We have forklifts and lifting hooks and so on and so forth. But everything is kind of like taking a puzzle that's got 20 pieces, getting them ready to put together, and all of a sudden just kind of put them all together. So as we have the main chassis being worked on and the heavy structural members, then we're also building all the separate component parts. For example, like a natural balance, we might be building the big giant wave box. On the other hand, we're building all these fish and kelp and coral pieces separately, and then we just kind of mass and put them together.
Then the welding begins, which is the first step in securing the foundation to the base. While the welding is finished, paper mache is layered on the steel and then coated with polyurethane foam.